All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, you remember our key text. Let's start reading in verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul writing to the young evangelist, the become pastor, Timothy, and he says, "These things command and teach." These things command and teach. Verse number 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." Be you a tupos, a die. A die of the believers in these six things. In number one, word. Number two, conversation. Number three, in charity. Number four, in spirit. Number five, in faith. And then number six, in purity. Till I come, the Apostle Paul speaking by the Spirit of God, and you and I could look at and liken it to the coming of Jesus at the last trump. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Father, once again, we come to you and we ask this by the Spirit of God that you just move upon us by your Spirit. Anything that would be a hindrance, anything that would be a distraction, we bind it. And we ask, Lord, that you just touch each one of us, Lord, and bring us to that place of power in you. In you, Lord. Let us see that as a nation serves you and they seek you and you're their God, that it's a blessed nation. Well, we choose to serve you. We choose to stand under the very cross, under the blood, under the provision of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for influence. We thank you for a guiding, directing hand. We thank you that we will be a light in a dark place until the coming of our Lord and Savior. We ask these things. We proclaim these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So you remember we started this year off and we talked about how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16, that you, the church, is the light of the world. And that the works that you do, inspired, empowered, employed by the living God, by the Holy Ghost, was to influence. And it was to bring God glory and cause mankind to see that there was something of hope. There was something better. There was something that could change and influence people's lives. And so, as we moved through that series, we looked at the importance of what we are to do. And so this morning, as we get to this last one, this step of purity, I think that it's so important as we're done halfway through the year, we're moving into the second half of the year, that we need to recognize that the devil has an agenda. And that agenda is to make you and I think that we cannot influence people. To make us think that we've just got to take a second seat, a back seat, and sit down and let people make decisions and rules for us. That's not the truth at all. You and I, we are to influence our starting with our very families and then moving out into our communities, moving out even to the state, to the United States. You have a voice this morning. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside of your spirit. You have power that is indescribable aside from this Word of God. Because the Spirit of life that brought Jesus from that tomb and set Him on the right hand of the Father abides and lives within the church of the Most High God. And we can stand strong and be who God has called us to be. Amen. And so we're going to look at some things this morning, I think, that are very prevalent, very timely. I think it will help us so much. And so let's just talk about some things this morning. Let's jump back up to the first of this chapter and see why you and I are to be such an influence in these last days. Look what he says, starting in verse number 1 of this fourth chapter in 1 Timothy. "Now the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, speaketh expressly." Speaks plainly and clearly. And if this was what was speaking through the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit all of these years ago, how much more prominent is it? How much more prevalent is it right now? Because we are in the last of the last days. Amen? "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart. They shall be removed by revolt." That's what this word means from the Greek. They're going to be removed by revolt. Well, as you look around the world, today. You see how the world is revolting away from the things of God. You see how people are being removed from their place and their position, and they're departing. They're departing from the faith, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. People do not want this Word to go forth, because when this Word goes forth, change is possible. The impossible becomes not only possible, but probable. Amen? And so we see how the devil doesn't care for people talking about God, because he doesn't want the name of Jesus mentioned. He doesn't want Jesus, who is the living Word, to be presented. And so he said that some would depart. They would have a removal and a revolt from the faith. So you and I, we've got to stand strong in this Word. We've got to stand up and say, this is what the Bible says. And the Bible says that you and I are to be an influencer. We're to be an example, a tupos, a die as struck in purity. So if I'm going to be that, if you're going to be that, then we've got to see that because Jesus has touched us, He has made us pure. You are justified this morning, just as if you never sinned. You are white, washed in that red blood of Jesus Christ. That is your recognition of who you are, but that's your influence of how you represent Jesus in this world. And notice what he said, that they would be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils in the last days. Are we not seeing that everywhere? This word seducing spirit, Paul is very adamant here. The word means to rove as a tramp. In other words, there is a spirit in this world that is going and is pulling people away from the purity in Jesus Christ, getting them to settle for something less. There is a cheapening of God's grace. See, God's grace saved you, saved me this morning. But God's grace is not cheap. God's grace come by the blood of His Son, and it not only cleanses me up, but it makes me pure and enables me to walk in this sinful world in power and victory. You do not have to be overcome by evil. You and I, we are overcoming evil by the very presence of Jesus Christ in our life. Amen? So we're not going to take heed to a gospel that says, well, you're just a flesh being and so you're going to sin. No, you and I, we have a relationship with God that as He walks with us and we walk with Him, we're climbing the ladder of sanctification and we're being made more and more like Jesus in this world. Amen? Amen. We've got to believe it. Now, turn over to 2 Timothy and look what he says in chapter 3. Just getting the groundwork of what it would look like in the last days so you could see how important it is where you're living at right now, where I'm living at right now, that we can make the right decisions and we can be what God called us to be. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times, difficult times shall come. It's difficult. Come on, there's trying times out there. But you and I, we're living in the one who is out of time. We're living in the one who can hold our hand and He can bring what He has destined for us from His very throne room even into this world. Amen? He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. If you notice, there's 18 traits there. The number 18 in Bible numerics means bondage. So in other words, you and I were either made free by the fruit of the Spirit, the nine gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, or we're in bondage to the flesh. Well, you and I tonight, we're made free by the Spirit of God living in us. Amen? All right, now notice what he said. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You and I, we know the power of God. The power of God is unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? You and I, we don't have to be conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. This Word coming into us, showing us who we are, blood bought, blood washed. We have a destiny. We have something to do, something to accomplish. What is that? Stand up for what's right. Call sin, sin, but call the love of God the answer to sin. The answer to sin. Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? You and I, that's who we're living for. That's who we're standing by. That's who's instilled life into us. So we see here the Apostle Paul has painted us a picture of what we would see in the last days. Can you and I agree that we're in the last of the last days? So how much more is it critical and important for you and I to make a stand in this grace of God, reaching people with hope that there's something different, there's something better? I needed to know some things all through my life before I met Jesus that I didn't know. I was believing a lie. I was settling for what I was being given in the world as the answer, as the hope, as the fulfillment of what this life was all about. And all of those things were wrong. They weren't true. They weren't genuine. They weren't leading me to a place of heaven. They were leading me to a place of hell. So this morning, you and I, we've got to see that just because a whole world has an influence in a certain way, that they believe a certain thing, there is not safety in numbers. All through this Bible, you look, you see how many was in the ark. You see how many come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see what, when Jesus presented the message there, in the Gospels and closing out of Matthew and in Luke especially, where the disciples said, "Well, Lord, will any be saved?" It's a serious matter. You and I have got to recognize and realize it's not the crowd. Jesus made a statement. He said, "Where you see the eagles," in the King James, "but where you see the vultures, that's where the dead bodies are going to be. That's where the multitude's going to be." But you and I, we've got to stand up and say, "Listen, I've got something to tell you. God loves you. He has the answer for where you're at. He wants to show you that there's something better, that you have a destiny. The reason why you can't have peace is because you're not walking with the one who's the source of peace. The reason why nothing satisfies is because you were created to serve a living God who loves you. He put something in you that only He can feel. And when you accomplish allowing Him to be the Lord in that area of your life, will you have the peace that passeth all understanding?" Amen? We've got to stand strong. Now, let's turn over to 1 Peter. Let's look what Peter said. Him and Paul, they had a message that come in agreement, because the Bible never disagrees with itself. In 1 Peter chapter 2, look what Peter said in verse number 11. Verse 11 and 12, actually. 1 Peter 2 and 11. He says, "Dearly beloved," aren't you glad that you're loved this morning? The Bible says you're loved with an everlasting love. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Amen? So I'm not going to let the devil tell me that I can't come boldly to the throne of grace. No matter, I may have messed up, but I've got a God who can take my mess ups and He can make them right. Amen? "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." You and I, we've got to live like this. This earth is not our home. Everything that you and I are building, we're not building for this earth. We're building for the eternity. We're laying our treasure up in heaven. Amen? In that kingdom that is forever, that Jesus Christ has destined us to live with Him in bliss. Yes, bliss. Amen? We can't even hardly understand it in the natural. Amen? "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain." You and I have got to make a decision. I'm going to hold myself against fleshly lust. When we're living in a moment, it started during different generations, but here in America, it started in the 60s. If it feels good, do it. Right? And so there was an acceptance of just living your life kind of free. Well, the trouble of it is, see, the only freedom, Brother Corey talked about it just a moment ago when he was quoting John 8:32, is the freedom is in Jesus. That's it. There's no other freedom. Everything else is a false freedom. It's a lie. And the devil wants to get you and I in a place where we get deeper and deeper in that false freedom, that we're so bound up that we don't understand and recognize what God has for us through His Son. Amen? All right. He said, abstain. Hold yourself off from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. This word soul here, this is your mind, will, and your emotions. You can't watch television. You can't open up a magazine. You can't look at the internet unless they're presenting some kind of medicine that will steal your mind. Now, why are they doing that? Because we're in a mess. People are misery. They're in misery, and they're looking for something that will what? That will steal their mind, that will help them. And I'm all for man and doctors and medicines that will help us get to the point where we can have some relief, till we can come into what God would have for us. I'm not talking against any of that. But my point is, you and I, we can see how bad the world is in the place of having anxiety, having uncertainty, being just ripped to and fro by all the lies of these seducing spirits, these doctrines of devils that would want to keep people in a place where they're always thinking, well, tomorrow will be better. Yeah. Well, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of victory. Today's the day of living in a place with God the Father by the Spirit because of Jesus Christ that's available to us. Amen? And so what we've got to do is we've got to say that if I'm in a war this morning, I need to see what's causing that war, and I need to step back, and I need to say, the Bible told me to be an example in these six things. What we're talking about today is purity. And so I need to see that if the Bible tells me I'm an example, that's who I am. And so I need to, this battle that's going on in my mind, I need to give it to Jesus. And I say, Lord, You come. You help me stand, make a stand by Your word against these feelings, these thoughts, these seducing spirits, these doctrines of devils. Let me stand strong in who You've made me. Help me to stand against this. Help me to have the liberty and the victory that only Your word can bring as I apply it, as I live it. Amen? Now notice what he said, verse number 12. Having your conversation in the King James, better translated, having your behavior honest among the Gentiles, among the unbelievers, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, remember Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, by your good works shall the Father be glorified in heaven, that by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And you and I, we've got to be a part of the bride that has made herself ready. And part of our making ourselves ready is that we'll have the heart and the compassion of God to make somebody else ready. Give them an opportunity. Right now, there's little children that are being indoctrinated that they don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. And all of these things to bring confusion in their life, where they will grow up always wondering, well, did God make me or not? Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I upside down? They don't know. They can't tell light from darkness. You and I have got to stand strong and say, Jesus is the Creator. He made you because He loved you, because the Bible says in Revelation 4:11 that He created you for His pleasure. That's why you're here. And God has a destiny for your life. And we've got to make a stand and say, this is what God wants for you. Amen? So, as you and I look at the Word of God, we've got to see that He said that the battle was going to be in our very minds, that we're going to have to, it was going to war against our soul. So let's go and let's apply some scripture. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Everybody knows these verses very well. But it's not what we know, it's what we're living, it's what we're applying. The Apostle Paul says in this fourth chapter, he talks about being able to rejoice. And he talks about living a life of great attitude of gratitude. But he comes down in verse number 8, and he gives us eight things. And the number four thing that you and I are to think on is purity. So the number 8 in Bible numerics means new beginnings. When you and I get born again, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have a new beginning. And so the fourth one here is purity. Now, the number 4 in the Bible means world. In this world, you and I need to be pure. The Bible says, "Blessed are they that are pure in heart, for they shall see God." Why does the devil not want people to be pure in heart? Because you and I can see God this morning. He's not talking about the eternity. Yes, praise God, we'll be able to see Him and walk with Him in the eternity. But I need to see Him this morning because there's sin to my left, there's sin to my right, there's confusion, there's every evil work and action. I need to see Jesus Christ risen from the dead, defeated hell, death, and the grave, knowing that there's an answer to my problem. Amen? I need to see Him. And so the world needs to see Him. How can they see Him? You and I have got to make a stand. Notice what Paul says. He says, "Finally, brethren," so he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are," number 4, "are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." This word "think" means to take an inventory. See, the devil, I don't know how he works on you, but the way he works on me, he tries to get me to take an inventory of everything I don't have. Of every problem, of every struggle, of every heartache, all of those things, because he wants me just to keep pulling from that empty shelf and saying, "This is what you don't have, and this is how much God doesn't love you. This is how much you're going to have to defend your own situation, your own self, and your own circumstance." No, I'm going to take inventory of what I do have. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 8, that my God, your God, the God of love, that because we have this assurance that He gave us Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, as His Lamb, that He would freely give us I got to take inventory of that. Devil, you're a liar. Situation, you're but for a moment. You're just for a moment. You're a facsimile of the truth. You're a phantom. You're a shadow. It's smoke and mirrors. I have all things through Christ Jesus. My God is my source. Amen? Jesus Christ. So I can be an example in purity. I can think on the pure things. I can cause others to see a God that can take a sinner like me that was swallowed up in sin, can wash him in the blood, and can change his life forever. That's who you and I are. That's who the church is. Amen? We use those things. We're not embarrassed by those things. We use them to tell people that there's hope, there's confidence, there's victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? Not judging anybody, but to giving them a hope and a confidence they can come from where they're at to where God would have them to be. Amen? There's no testimony unless we've had a test. There's no witness unless we've experienced, unless we've seen some things. Amen? Oh, glory. So, notice what he said. We read verse 8. Now let's read verse 7. Let's see the power of this. He said, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, God wants to keep your heart. He wants to keep your mind. All right? But the way that He can do that is that you and I have got to be willing when we meet the devil and we're presented with thoughts that are not pure and a thought. And see, immediately our mind goes to some kind of sexual sin or something like that. No, an impure thought is anything that doesn't line up with this Bible. And so, I don't know about you, the enemy comes to me and he starts to tell me how weak I am. or how limited I am, or how I don't have the ability to influence and touch people the way this Bible says, that's an impure thought. Because the purity of the Word of God is what God says is the first and the final say. God cannot lie. Amen? So whatever God says, that's the way it is. And so I've got to be in this place. Well, how do I get in this place? Jump back to verse 6. We're going in reverse just to apply the point here. He said, be careful for nothing. That means in the Greek, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about any one thing. Now, don't get mad at me, but if you're anxious about something, you're sinning. The answer to sin is repentance. All I got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't live out your word in this area, but I know that you have grace for me. I repent of that. Amen. So I repent of that, and all of a sudden, I'm justified. It's just as if I never done it. Right? And then look what happens. So if I'm careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So in other words, I'm in the place and the position where I'm battling something this morning. I don't understand some things that's happening in my life. Maybe I'm concerned about my spouse or my children or my grandchildren or my job or what's happening around me. And that concern is something that you have to cast on Jesus. Amen? In other words, God doesn't... See, the devil will come to you and say, oh, you're concerned for a reason. God's showing you this to prepare you. The most subtle beast of the field. Paul said that he was a liar. Right? Jesus said the devil was a liar. John 8:44, the father of lies, and there was no truth in him. So we don't listen to anything he says, amen? So God is always giving you a word, giving me a word that builds hope, that brings his will, his plan into the earth. So I want to be pure in my thoughts. So what I've got to do, I've got to say, Lord, I don't understand what's happening right now. I don't know why this attack is happening in my family, in my spouse, my children, my grandchildren, on my job, or in my community, whatever it is, I don't know. But I'm going to thank you ahead of time, because I serve a God that is more than enough. I serve a God that has a plan and a destiny for me, my family, my community, and all is going to be well because I'm going to follow you. I can't control what anybody else does or don't do, but I'm going to follow you, and it's going to be well. I'm going to have this example of purity, of pure thoughts, of hope, of confidence in my God. Amen? All right. Now, where we're at right now, quickly, I just want to hit on just a couple things. Turn to Titus, and we don't have time to look at this. But in Titus chapter 2, we're at a place right now where the world doesn't want mamas and daddies, doesn't want grandpas and grandpas, elders, to be an influence. For some reason, they've got us in the place and the position where they think, well, we just need to be quiet. You know, it's not our place. No, your place is, if you're older in the Lord than I am, I need you. And if you have wisdom and knowledge in a situation and a circumstance, and you don't impart that to me, God is going to judge you for it. Titus 2 and 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. See, you're an influencer. You're to speak those things. See, the devil is speaking. Remember the doctrines of devils? So the church needs to speak the things, the doctrines of the Lord. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober. Don't be influenced by the world, in other words. Don't let the world get you bent out of shape, because you have a confidence in God who saved you. All's going to be well. Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in love, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. See, you've got to know who you are and what you can do. You've got to know what the Bible says about you. Every every believer. If you got saved yesterday, then you can be an influence to someone who's going to get saved today. But you've got to believe it. You've got to see it and go, okay, I need to shape somebody's life. And today we're talking about impurity. In other words, I need to help somebody not be overwhelmed, taking to task by the devil in thoughts that's contrary to thus saith the Lord. That they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, that's pure, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. We need an influence. Yes. And if the Bible says that that's who you are, and you are, then guess what? You can do it. But to be able to do it, you've got to be willing. I've got to be willing. And you've got to be around them. See, when Paul said, be thou an example of the believers, that word, like we said so many times, is tupos. It means a die as struck. You got to put something in a die. You got to surround something to change it. So, you and I, we've got to be around people. We've got to help people. So it's my heart's desire that the Spirit of the living God open up our spiritual senses, that we see those around us that He's wanting us to influence, to be an example to. That the Spirit of God just highlights their face. That, in other words, when you and I, when we close our eyes at night, that face is lit up before us and we pray for them. We look for opportunities to impact their lives, to influence them. Amen? Mark in your Bibles, we don't have time to look at it, but you look at the first eight verses in 1 Peter chapter 3 and look at the influence of husbands and wives when they're in cooperation with God within the church. And look and see how, whether you're a wife or just a lady, or whether you're a husband or just a man, that you represent the Most High God. And you can influence, you can touch, you can change people's lives. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, now we're going somewhere. We're going to get what some might say negative just for a moment, but then we're going to turn positive. But I want you to see how the devil wants to water down the message of walking in holiness, of being an influencer. Look what Paul says here to the church at Corinth. Now, how many believe that the church at Corinth, they were on fire for God, but they were immature? They operated, Paul says in the I believe it's the first chapter, he said, you're not coming behind in any gift. In other words, they're operating in all the gifts of the Spirit, but yet they're carnal. They need some help. They need some influence. And notice what he says. Drop down to verse 16. First Corinthians 3:16. Paul says that you and I are to be a wise master builder, because if not, this is what's going to happen. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? In other words, we need to remind people, encourage them, build them up. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, that word indwelleth, it means to inhabit. So we need to help people to realize it's not the doodads, it's the Word. Thank God for the doodads. I love to feel the manifest presence of the Holy Ghost. But sometimes you're not going to feel that. But you have the Word that no matter whether you feel it or not, He lives in you. He lives in you because He's wanting to shape you. Yes. And mold you. So if Jesus is willing to put His hands on this old boy, I need to be willing to let Jesus help me put my hands on somebody else. Verse 17. If any man, no gender intended, if any of the mankind, any human, defile the temple of God, he himself shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, those seducing spirits, those doctrines of devils, they're moving through the world today and they're playing church. They're playing religion. And there's a theme of godliness, but that theme of godliness is with a little g. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the devil is the little g, the little god of this world. You and I, we don't serve him. We're not influenced by him. We're not empowered by him. We serve the living God. Amen? Amen. Now notice what it says. Let no man deceive himself. Now it sounds like Jesus, don't it? Over and over, Jesus said, let no man deceive himself. So you and I, we need to be in the place where we recognize that if we start listening to anything other than this Bible, we can come into deception and we can accept another gospel. Paul told the church at Galatia, he said, you're hearing another gospel. It's not the gospel that I preach to you, he said. It's the gospel that's going to cause you to be bound up. Amen? All right, notice what he said. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And so Paul goes on to talk about here. He says, some people say, I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul, I'm of Christ, all of these things. You and I, we got to say, I'm not of a certain denomination. I'm of Jesus. I'm of Jesus because there is a world church that is being lifted up right now. There is as Paul talked about in 1 John chapter 4, even in 90 AD, there was a spirit of Antichrist that was in the world. Can you imagine how much more that spirit of Antichrist is here today? And it's getting ready to raise up a world church. And so you and I, we've got to know who we are, what we've been called to do to accomplish it before the coming of the Lord, where we can pull as many people out of that world church into a relationship with God. So know that you are the temple. That means everywhere you go, you bring the Holy of Holies to a lost and dying world. That's why he gives us this analogy, this understanding. You bring the power of God, the fire of God. You bring what was in the Holy of Holies into a world that is lost and undone. You can influence them. You can empower them to give them hope and confidence to come from where they're at and to come into a relationship with God. Amen? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse number 1. We're going to work our way to a close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth by the Spirit of God says, having therefore these promises, and you have to read chapter 6 to get the full thought, but once again, he's talking about being the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about coming out from the world and not being like the world. And you need to look at that. But he says, having these promises that God's your Father and you're a child of God, he said, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Oh, I want God to do it. See, God, he cleansed me from my sins when I accepted Jesus. And then he put me on a road, a path of sanctification, of walking with him. Letting this word come into my life. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, all stain of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So where we're at today in the world is there's no fear of the Lord. See, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? There's no fear of the Lord. You know, used to you could talk to somebody who was a sinner and they would reverence God. They would reverence the church. They would reverence the body of Christ. Not anymore. So you and I, we need to stand in that place, in that position, and be an example of the believers in purity and say, listen, I'm not judging you. But let me tell you, this is a right way and a wrong way. This is a heaven way. This is a hell way. And you're free to make any choice, any decision you want to. We can be friends in the sense that I'm available to be your friend in the sense that I want you to know that I don't look at what you're choosing to do as something that would cause me to stay away from you, but rather I want to do like what Jesus done to me. He drawed nigh unto me. And you got to be wise, and you got to be led by the Spirit, and you got to know who God would have you to go to in that timing, and you will. And you know, got to know that sometimes you can be a friend to somebody and help them, and sometimes you got to be a friend to them and stay away from them. But God will give you that wisdom, that because you are that temple. Amen. All right. So you have to cleanse yourself. I have to cleanse myself. I thought about this story. There was this lady. She was talking about going. She's a young girl. She's about 20 years old, and she was talking about going to these different places. And her Christian friends were worried about her, and they said, "Yes, I believe that Jesus can make you free to be able to be a witness and to go anywhere He would lead you to go. But you got to have wisdom that some places you don't need to go." If you don't have this power of the Spirit, if you don't have that unction to go there. Because I don't know about you, I know my weaknesses. And I know where I can be effective, and I know where the devil can be effective in my life. But anyway, she wouldn't listen to that. So she asked this one person, she asked this one person that she was close to, and she said, let me tell you this story. She said, last summer, me and my family, extended family, we went to this old mine and said we decided we was going to go right to the very bottom of that mine and explore it all out. We had an old miner whose family had owned that, and he was going to give us this tour through there. And there was this, one of our cousins was there, and they had on this white dress, and they had told her, you better go change. And she said, no, I don't want to. I'm going to wear this dress into this mine. And the old miners just looked at her, and she said, what, you don't think I can wear this dress down there? He said, yeah, you can wear that dress down there. And she said, well, I can wear it down there, and I can come out with it. He said, you can wear that white dress down there, but you're not going to come out with a white dress. So you got to know where you can have impact and influence, and you got to know when you're being led and when the enemy can overtake certain situations and circumstances. With that, I want to close with this illustration. Brother Ryan, would you put that first picture? This is Lake Berkeley. Isn't that beautiful? That's Lake Berkeley in Butte, Montana. Now, as gorgeous as that is, can you imagine if you like to parasail? Can you imagine coming off the side of that and just sailing and then just landing in the water and having such a big time? Or maybe you got a jet ski, or maybe you got a boat, or whatever. I mean, you could just look at that, and it looks so gorgeous. There's a problem with that. See, what we're seeing is we look at that water. That is not the water that you're seeing. That's a reflection of the sky. Look at the next slide, brother. Next picture, brother Ryan. That's what the water really looks like. That's not a lake. That's a pit. They call it Lake Berkeley in Butte, Montana, but it's not really a lake. It's a pit. That's the most toxic pit of water in the United States of America. Something like 50 million gallons of acid and zinc and copper and lead and all of these things from the mining that they'd done from the 1800s all the way up to the 1900s. See, everything that man touches in self, we mess up. And a lot of times we look at something and we look at the outside of it and it looks so good. But then when we get down to the heart of the matter, see, God only knows the heart. So in closing, I want to look at two verses and I want you and I to apply them where we can be the two posts. We can be the example in purity that God's called us to be. Brother Ryan, would you go to Psalms 139? Psalms 139, start in last two verses. Verse 23 and 24, I believe it is. This is the prayer of David. This is the prayer of purity. And you and I, if we're willing to pray this prayer, we can see our life change. Because this 139th Psalm is about the reality that God made you. God made me. And he goes to great detail of showing how God created us and placed us in the mother's womb. And so there's a sanctity of life. Amen. Can't go there. Psalms 139, verse 23. David prays this prayer, and this is what you and I want to pray this morning. He says, "Search me." Search me. Now, this word search is from a Hebrew word. It means to know intimately. So what David is doing, he's come to the place in his life where he knows that God knows all about him, because he's done laid out the example of God placing him in his mother's womb and how wonderfully and miraculously he was created. So he comes to God and he says, "God, I just want to get real with you. I know you already know, but I want you to search me. I want you to know me intimately, and I want you to show me exactly where I'm at. Because I know you've got something better for me. I know that you can make the reality of who you created me to be my driving force, the fulfillment of everything about my life. So I asked you to search me." Look what he says. "Search me, O God, and to know my heart." In other words, God, I want you to know my mind. And I want you to show me what I'm really thinking. Show me where I'm at. Show me how it compares to this Bible. Show me how it compares to what you've destined me to do and to become. I want you to show me where I'm at, where I can step up in you, where you can have the final say in my life. See, if we'll pray this prayer, everything that we're confused about, everything that we're deceived about, every working of the enemy and the doctrines of devils, seducing spirits will be revealed. And all of a sudden, you and I will come out of any confusion that we might have in our life. There's a lot of confusion in the church. And the Bible says that God's not the author of confusion in the church, but of peace. "Search me, O God. Know my heart." Now notice this. He said, "Try me." Now, this is a word that a person who purifies gold or silver or precious metals would be very familiar with, acquainted with. In other words, he said, "Try me. Put the heat of the Holy Spirit in my life. And anything that isn't of your word, anything that isn't of your son Jesus, I want that to be purified out of my life. I don't want anything of this world. I only want what you have for me. I want your word. I want your will. I want your work. I want to walk in your way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my thoughts." Know my meditation. See, the Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, "As a man, a woman, boy, or girl thinks in their heart, so are they." You and I will never go past what we're thinking. See, when we're talking about the pure thoughts, I'm not saying that you've got evil thoughts in your life, but anything that doesn't match this Bible is a thought that will keep you from being what God's destined you to be. Will keep me from being what God's destined me to be. See, there's so many out there, they are letting the world label them, "I'm this, I'm that." No, you're a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus when you get born again. Amen? And you don't identify any longer with the old Adamic fallen sinful nature, but now you have the nature of God in your life. Know my thoughts. Know what I'm thinking. I'm going to think what you think. Now look what he says. And see if there be any wicked way in me. See, David's being honest with the Lord. And once again, we got to understand what this word wicked means, because immediately people get on the defense and say, well, I've been going to church all these years. There ain't no wicked way in me. It's not wicked in the sense of high sin or demonic activity. This word wicked here means anything that's an idol. Anything that comes ahead of God is an idol. My spouse can be an idol. My children can be an idol. My job can be an idol. My car can be an idol. My house, all of those things. See, David, he had an anointing to be a warrior for God. And that anointing to be a warrior for God was he's to lead the army out. But instead, he stays at Jerusalem. See, he had anointing to meet the devil head on, and he wouldn't fall. He couldn't die. But he got out of his place of anointing, and he stays home, and Bathsheba shows up. He didn't have an anointing to defeat that because he wasn't in the place of position of anointing. He was in the place and position of, I'm going to meet the devil on my own terms. Every time I've met the devil on my own terms, I have fallen short. See if there be any wicked way. See if there be any idols in my life. What could be an idol? Well, where we're at right now in the church world is, I don't really have to go to church. I don't really have to read this Bible. You know, I can go to church every once in a while. I can listen to preaching on the internet. I can listen to preaching on TV. You know, no, God wants you to read this Bible for yourself. Thank God for all of those attributes and all those ministries. They're all important. But God wants you to read this yourself by His Spirit. This is your food. This is your source of strength. This is everything that you're looking for. Amen? All right. And see if there be any wicked way, any idol in me. Notice what he says. And lead me in the way of everlasting. God's got a way for you and I that will lead you in the way of the eternity. That's what everlasting is. So in closing, I want to look at three verses about the leadership of God. Go with me to Psalm 78. And I want you to allow this to be so real to you. In Psalm 78, it's one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, and it's about God's provision, God's promise, God's power in His children. And look at these three verses. Look at verse 14, Psalm 78:14. In the daytime, He, the Lord God, He led them, the children of Israel, led them with a cloud, and all night with the light of fire. So it doesn't matter if you're meeting the devil in the daytime or you're meeting the devil in the dark. God will lead you. But you've got to know that and you've got to believe that, because the devil comes especially when you need your rest. Some of you, just about the time that you start to go to sleep, the devil will come and start knocking on your mind. To what? To discourage you, to bring you into despair, to attack the purity in your mind, to try to get you, to try to get me to believe a lie. Amen? So you got to say, no, wait a minute. God's got a cloud for me in the daytime, in the hot sun of the enemy, or in the nighttime, He's got something to warm me when the enemy tries to come over me to freeze me out. Amen? All right. Drop down to verse 53. This is the second of the third one. I'll let you go. Psalm 78:53. And He led them on safely. Aren't you glad? Yes. And he led them on safely so that they feared not. You don't have to fear. Be an example in the purity of your mind, in the purity of my mind. When fear comes, recognize it's a spirit. Now the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody. You have all power and authority over all spirits out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, Luke 10:18-19. He tells you that you have the power, the authority. You exercise that power and authority and you say, no spirit of fear. You do not have any say in this house. This house is the temple of the Most High God. Amen. And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. See, what the devil's trying to overwhelm you at in the nighttime, it's going to come on him. It's going to swallow him up. Amen? All right, in closing, look at the last verse. Verse 72. Psalm 78:72. So he fed them. He's going to feed you. He's going to lead you. So he fed them according to the integrity of my heart. God's heart's perfect. That means I may not be in a perfect place, but my God doesn't look at where I'm at. He looks at who he is, what he's promised. Amen. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. Notice this. And he guided them. He led them by the skillfulness of his hands. How skillful is the hands of God? The psalmist David talked about how God created you and I in the inward parts with the skill of his hands. See, you serve a God, a Father in heaven that has been all the way to the end of the eons of time from the beginning of time. See, in your life, God knows every option that you're presented with. But He's gave me free will for us to make our choices, whether we follow Him or we follow the enemy. So God has all of these options. But as God has all of these options, they're not an option to Him. They're only an option to you and I. And He wants to guide us into the way of everlasting with the skillfulness of His hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace, Your mercy and Your love. I thank You for this group of people and this moment of time that we have. I ask You, Father God, right now that You would just touch us. And we pray this purity prayer, this prayer of purity. We ask You, Father God, that You touch us. We give You permission that You search us, that You try us, that You know our thoughts right now. And there's been some situations, even this past night, in the night seasons, where the enemy has come and has showed himself powerful. Lord, right now we ask that You just bring purity in our lives. You bring truth in our lives. Let every lie, every doctrine of the devil, every seducing spirit's work, that it be revealed. Help us yield to You right now and receive the truth. Let every idol be cast down and let You sit on the very throne of our heart. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Would you come and make yourself an altar up here and just spend some time with the Lord? If you don't feel comfortable coming to the front, make you an altar at your chair. But as your heart touches the ground, let the Spirit of God come into you and show you some truths like you've never seen before. I want you to leave here empowered, emboldened. I want you to leave here just excited in who you are and what God has done in your life. Because as you are excited in that reality, in that truth, there is nothing, there is nobody that can't be impacted by the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.